That's interesting. All right. Amen. Amen. So, Father, as we prepare for communion, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this season of fasting that we have experienced. We thank you for the first week where you were putting your finger on places in our lives that you wanted to address. We thank you for the second week where you were talking to us about Radical in Christ Ministries and our role within Radical and any and every piece of that. And we thank you for the third week where we were praying for nations, praying for our country, praying for Israel and Ukraine and Japan and Australia and just the world. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for your love for the world. We thank you for your love for us. And Lord, as we close this fast with communion, Father, we take the bread, the cracker, whatever we have, Lord. And you said at the Last Supper, when you were with your disciples, you said, "This bread represents my body broken for you, that you might be reconciled, that you might be one, that you might have the opportunity to be who you were created to be." So take, break, and eat, remembering that Christ died for us and his body was broken for us. Thank you, Lord. And take your cup. And at that table, Jesus held up the cup and he said, "This wine," which was a customary drink for him, he said, "This wine represents my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin." And in Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Remission means removal, forgiveness, cleansing. So as we drink this drink, we are remembering the blood that Jesus shed for us, that we might be cleansed, that our sins might be washed away, physically, emotionally, mentally cleansed. Take and drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Father, I'm reminded that you said that we are to be washed by the washing of your word. So, Lord, as we look to go into your word, we thank you for the cleansing. We thank you for the growth. We thank you for yet another opportunity to be who you've created us to be. We honor you and we bless you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for helping us to understand, to receive, and to walk out this word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good morning again. We are in a few different places this morning. So, we'll be in Exodus 3, 1 through 4 and 17. Exodus 3, so the whole chapter of Exodus 3, and then about halfway down through Exodus 4, 3, 1 through 4, 17. Then Ephesians 4 and 28, and John 3, 16. Exodus 3, 1 through 4, 17, Ephesians 4, 28, and John 3, 16. Amen. And I'm going to read from the Message, Exodus 3, 1 through 4 and 17. And if someone else would grab Ephesians 4, 28, and then someone else get John 3, 16, that
I can
would.
get Ephesians.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So I'm reading Exodus 3, down through 4 and 17 from the Message. And I'm going to try to make this as lively as I can. All right. It'd be good if I was in Exodus and not Ephesians. There we go. Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out in the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up?" God saw that he had stopped to look. God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Yes, I'm right here." God said, "Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God. God said, "I have taken a good long look at the affliction of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain. And now I have come down to help them, pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, get them out of that country, and bring them to a land, a good land with wide open spaces. A land lush with milk and honey. The land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The Israelite cry for help has come to me, and I've seen for myself how cruelly they're being treated by the Egyptians. It's time for you to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses answered God, "But why me? What makes you think I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" "I'll be with you," God said, "and this will be the proof that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you will worship God right here at this very mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the people of Israel and I tell them the God of your father sent me to you, and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What do I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you." God continued with Moses. "This is what you're to say to the Israelites. God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, sent me to you. This has always been my name, and this is how I always will be known. Now be on your way. Gather the leaders of Israel. Tell them, God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me, saying, I've looked into what's being done to you in Egypt, and I've determined to get you out of the affliction of Egypt and take you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, a land brimming over with milk and honey. Believe me, they will listen to you. Then you and the leaders of Israel will go to the king of Egypt and say to him, God, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness where we will worship God, our God. I know that the king of Egypt won't let you go unless forced to. So I'll intervene and hit Egypt where it hurts. Oh, my miracles will send them reeling, after which they'll be glad to send you off. I'll see to it that this people get a hearty send-off by the Egyptians. When you leave, you won't leave empty-handed. Each woman will ask her neighbor and any guests in her house for objects of silver and gold, for jewelry and extra clothes. You'll put them on your sons and daughters. Oh, you'll clean the Egyptians out. Moses' objective. They won't trust me. They won't listen to a word I say. They're going to say, God, appear to him? Hardly. So God said, what's that in your hand? A staff. Throw it on the ground. He threw it. It became a snake. Moses jumped back fast. God said to Moses, reach out and grab it by the tail. He reached out and grabbed it, and he was holding his staff again. That's so they will trust that God appeared to you, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God then said, put your hand into your shirt. He slipped his hand in under his shirt and then took it out. His hand had turned less leprous, like snow. He said, put your hand back under your shirt. He did it, then took it back out as healthy as before. So if they don't trust you and aren't convinced by the first sign, the second sign should do it. But if it doesn't, if even after these two signs they don't trust you and listen to your message, take some water out of the Nile and pour it out on the dry land. The Nile water that you pour out will turn to blood when it hits the ground. Moses raised another objection to God. Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words, neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and stammer. God said, and who do you think made the human mouth? And who makes some mute, some deaf, some sighted, some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going. I'll be right there with you, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say. He said, oh, master, please send somebody else. God got angry with Moses. Don't you have a brother, Aaron the Levite? He's good with words. I know he is. He speaks very well. In fact, at this very moment, he's on his way to meet you. When he sees you, he's going to be glad. You'll speak to him and tell him what to say. I'll be right there with you as you speak and with him as he speaks, teaching you step by step. He will speak to the people for you. He'll act as your mouth, but you'll decide what comes out of it. Now take this staff in your hand. You'll use it to do the signs. Amen. Amen. And what I want to draw from this, there's two places. When God said, what's in your hand? And when Moses cries, send somebody else. What's that in your hand? Amen. That's verse 2 of Ephesians 4. And Lord, please send somebody else. That's verse 13. Okay. All right, Victoria, if you would read Ephesians 4 and 28.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I am going to be reading out of the Contemporary English Version. So Ephesians 4:28 says, "If you are a thief, quit stealing. Be honest and work hard so you will have something to give to people in need."
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. And John 3:16.
I can get that also.
Tony said he can do it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Actually, this is King James Version, so we'll give her a shot. Just 16?
Nice. Mm-hmm. 16 and 17 would be
okay.
Great.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. Thank you. And the peace from that, it's all going to kind of come together. These are three very interesting pieces to put together. And I'm like, Lord, I've been saying a lot to him recently, Lord, you be tripping. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it's all a good thing, right? I can just feel him smiling at me because that's just, I'd be like, Lord, really? Seriously? Amen. Amen. This morning, the question that God is asking each of us, what's in your hand? Amen. What's in your hand? We've just finished this fast, and I want to say that even though the fast has ended, the assignment is just beginning. Even though the fast is ending, has ended, the work, the assignment is just beginning. God is wrestling. He is not wrestling as in, tugging, but wrestling like he's wrestling our nests. He's getting ready to just kind of make us uncomfortable, right? Uncomfortable enough to understand that we need to rely on him. We need to trust him. When Moses was there on the mountain and he saw the bush burning, he was amazed because the bush was on fire, but it wasn't disintegrating. It wasn't burning up. And he realized, I can imagine something real awesome is happening here. And then hearing the voice of God and realizing that he was standing on holy ground. He was standing in a place, wherever God is, it's a holy place. And we've read recently a lot from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We are holy vessels. And God wants us to honor him with our vessels, with our lives, with our words, with our facial expressions, with our hands, our feet, with our lives, with us. Amen. So when God is asking us, you know, looking at the world and the way things are around us, thinking about our families, thinking about what's happening in the lives of people that we care about, thinking about what's happening in our country, thinking about what's happening across the world, the question might come, but what can I do? And God's answer is, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? We were talking a little bit ago about a little one that's being shaped and formed in the womb. And when you were in your mother's womb, God shaped and formed you. He put gifts, callings, talents within you. Those things are still within you. It doesn't matter what you've walked through. It doesn't matter where you are now. Those things that God put in you are still there. Whether you feel worthy, whether you feel competent, whether you feel ready to go and ambitious and just wherever you are in that spectrum of, who, Lord, me? Kind of like Moses. Or on the other end, let's do this, God, let's go. Wherever you are in the midst of that spectrum, the question comes, what's in your hand? In other words, what have I put in you, right, to use? So then looking at Ephesians 4:28 that our sister read for us, he said, if you steal, stop stealing. Go work hard with your hands so that you can be a blessing to others. And as I read that, and I focused on the word steal, and Webster says that stealing is to take something or to carry away something without right or permission. So to steal something means to take something from someone else that is not ours, or we don't have permission. And then I heard the word covet. And I had never put those two together, I don't think. And the word tells us not to covet. What is covet? Covet is envying or desiring something that someone else has. Sometimes we covet what someone else has because we feel that they are better than we are. And in that case, that the coveting is wanting to be like they are in the things of God, wanting their gift, wanting their way of doing things. And in when we covet, when we want what others have, it's because we don't see what's in our own hands. When you look at someone else, when I look at someone else and say, oh, I wish, oh, what would I do? We are forfeiting what's in ourselves and like wanting, feeding on what someone else has. That's like stealing from yourself. That's like stealing from God. You are robbing yourself of what God has put in you to be used through you for the blessing of the earth. Does that make sense? When we covet, we're stealing from ourselves. We are not giving ourselves the opportunity to be who God created us to be. I want that to sit with you. Wanting what others have, or wanting to be like someone else, wanting someone else's gift, or comparing, there's that word, comparing ourselves to someone else, is basically saying, I don't have anything in my hands. What did Moses tell God? Send somebody else. Because I stammer and stutter. When we are looking at someone else and thinking that they are better than us, or thinking that they could do it better than us, we are basically saying, Lord, send someone else. Because I'm not as good as they are. When you and I are the person that God created us to be, when we become at home in our own skin, when we become comfortable within the gifts and callings that God has put inside of us, then we are able to be who God called us to be. We're able to use what's in our hands. We're able to take whatever it is that He would have us to do and do it fully relying on Him. What did God tell Moses? He said, I'll be there with you. I'll tell you what to say. I'll put the words in your mouth. And still Moses was like, God, please send somebody else. How many of us would be like Moses? No shame. How many of us would be like Moses? God, I don't think I can do it like sister so-and-so. I don't think I can do it like brother so-and-so. God ain't asking for them. He asking for you. Yes, sis.
I was just thinking, like, there's so many times where I've said, you know, I just want to be like Kathy. Anyway, you know, and I've watched you through the years, and I'm just like, something about you. But I'm wondering if, like, sometimes you're coveting because you don't want to do the work, and the other people did the work. Or are you saying we should just step up in faith because God's the one doing the work in all of us? Should we bypass, you know, thinking we gotta do the work? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Okay. And that's the absolute truth, because He's the one doing the work. Right?
He said, so it's really our character in our fear and doubt versus our faith.
That's right. That's right. Right? Okay. And I asked the Lord, I said, so God, coveting and stealing, when we covet, are we stealing? Right? You know, and you know, it can be, you know, that perhaps we're afraid, you know, or perhaps we feel like we're not prepared, or we don't want to do the work. But God said, the work that I've begun in you, I will complete. I will do. Right? So robbing and stealing from ourselves the opportunity that God has for what He wants to do through us, not only are we robbing and stealing from ourselves, but we're robbing and stealing from the body of Christ. He said that He would have us working fitly joined together. And the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the giftings of the body, the elbow can't tell the forearm, I don't need you. The big toe can't tell the pinky toe, I don't need you. We're all needed. And it's the body fitly joined together doing the work of the ministry. When you and I look at what God has put into our hands and we put our hand to the plow to do the work, and the person next to us looks at what's in their hands and they say, yes, God, and they put their hand to the plow to do the work that God has called them to do, then we're all working fitly joined together. And I don't need to look to you and compare myself, because I am focusing on what God has assigned me to do, and I'm trusting God to bring it through, because God put the gift in me. God put the gift in you. If He put it in us, that means He's provided the resources, the opportunity, and everything that is needed in order for that thing to be walked out. What's in your hands? Where does John 3:16 come in here, right? Ephesians 4:28 says, if you steal, stop stealing. Work with your hands so that you can give to those in need. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that he gave. So when we stop coveting what someone else has, and we look at what's in our own hands, and we trust that the work that God has started in us, he will continue it. When we trust that he is big enough and bold enough and smart enough to pull out of us what he put in us in the first place, amen, then we are positioned to give. Of ourselves, we are positioned to serve. We are positioned to pray for someone. We are positioned to lay hands when God says so for their healing, believing that God is going to do the work, because it's not us doing any of it, it's him doing it through us. Diane, I remember coveting what was in Apostle Kathy Berkeley. And also Michael Berkeley, Apostle Michael Berkeley. And it wasn't so much that I wanted what they had. I was just like, God, they're so powerful in you. They've given up everything. Everything.
Maybe.
And I watched them do it.
Yeah. Right? We watch obedient people, then we get more obedient.
Yeah. And I would look at them and I'm like, God, I can't, I'm not like that. I can't do what they do. But now what I understand, thank you, Jesus. And I used to tell them all the time, you know, I'm not like y'all. Y'all know Michael Berkeley. Yeah. You just need to stop looking at us and look at Jesus. Girl, you don't know what's inside of you, but I saw it. God showed me. So you just need to pray and get busy.
Amen.
He don't let the rocks grow underneath of you, you know? And I would always feel somehow not good enough. Mm-hmm. Or not ready. Or maybe I need to read some more. Or maybe I need to study some more. Or maybe I need to pray some more. Or maybe, you know, all of the, or maybe, 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 right? And what I realized is that I had been so torn down by situations in my life that I believed those messages more than what I believed about what God said about me. My experiences in life spoke louder in my heart and in my mind than what God was saying he wanted to do through me. But we're called to be like our daddy, y'all. We're called to be like our father. And Jesus came. He sent Jesus to be a role model, our big brother. To let us see the power that we have. When you and I read what Jesus did in the Gospels, he's simply a role model. And I don't use the word simply easily. I don't want you to misunderstand that, right? He was God. Amen. But he was the Son of Man also. He came to show us what we were capable of. And there's nothing simple about that. But at the same time, when we're relying on God and trusting him, it is simple because we don't have to do anything. We just have to say yes and trust that he will do it, right? Spend our time seeking him and giving him permission to do the work through us. Letting him just have his way. Right? Lord, I choose to go low so you can take me high. I choose to step back so that you can step forward in me. These are decisions you and I make. Amen. Amen. Yes, my sister.
I just wanted, it was so profound. I was listening to this YouTube this morning, and the guy said, "Fear of being rejected is the veil between us and the kingdom." Or fear of not being loved is the veil between us and God. And I was just like, whoa. Because that's where we stop short, like Moses. But Lord, but Lord,
Exactly,
but
but Lord.
Lord, but Lord, because we haven't, we're still trying to get all the love and approval and everything from men. Really, it's just like, God, come in, and I'm coming in, you know.
Yes. And God, like you, Moses is a perfect picture of that. But God, and God in his sovereignty and in his mercy sent Aaron with Moses. But when God said, "What's that in your hand?" And it was a staff, and he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And then God said, "Pick it up." I don't know if I would have reached down to pick up a snake. Moses was obedient enough to do that. He knew he had watched God change it from a rod to a snake. So I believe he trusted. Well, if he changed it into a snake, I guess he can change it back to a rod. Amen.
Same with Abraham and Isaac.
Yes.
If you step out in your fear and go ahead and obey, things happen.
That's right. When we are able to trust him more than we fear, right? When we are able to say to fear, "Fear, you don't own me." Fear, what is it? Joyce Meyer says, she wrote a book. I think it says, "Feel the fear and do it anyway." Right? There are moments when we don't know what comes to my heart right now, y'all. And this, it wasn't a big holy thing, but the day I graduated, and I had to go up on the podium and speak. I was like, "Lord, all these people in here, you know." And I, of course, you know, what is it? Imposter syndrome, right? That's where you feel like you don't deserve to be there, and you don't feel like you worked as hard as everybody else, and they made a mistake, and you're not supposed to be here. All of that tugging at my heart when I went to stand on that stage in front of all those people, and I just sat there, and all I kept saying was, "Lord, I'm next. You're gonna have to do this because I don't know what to do." And when I got up there, and the woman who was on my committee, who hooded me, and that means she put the stole on me, and she hugged me and she said, "Go get him."
You heard people screaming in the back.
Yes, I heard people screaming in the back. And when I stood at that podium, God said, "Be you."
And that's your husband. God said, "That's your husband."
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I don't remember all of what I said, but I knew I was all right. I knew God had me. And it was my mic for however long I had it. I think we had like a 2 minute thing, maybe a little longer,
think it was 5 minutes.
5 minutes. But God said, go for it, baby.
Wow.
And walking off that stage, y'all, I was shaking when I walked up there. I was shaking when I stood in front of the podium, and I was shaking when I walked back. But he did it. And we feel it, feel the fear, and do it anyway. Do it anyway.
I think
A lot of
Benny
praise
Hinn.
hands, Bree. Thank you, baby. God bless you. All praise to God.
Amen. But I was going to say, Benny Hinn was a stutterer, and they asked him to get up and speak, and he's like, I can't do that. I mean, can you imagine being a stutterer and being that nervous?
And
And you
that
know that
was
nerves only make
Moses,
it
right?
worse. Oh,
That
yeah.
was
Moses, too. You better go
Moses.
speak to the
Yes. Exactly.
I'd
First
be
of all,
like,
go speak to the elders.
yeah.
But and he had been hiding for what, 40 years after killing the Egyptian.
Yeah.
And then he was gonna go and tell the elders that
He's the savior.
God was gonna use him, and they were like, "Well, who are you? Remember when you killed that guy? You gonna kill us too?" You know? God always uses what he has put in us to do the work that is needed around us and in us and through us. Whenever the smallest things are not small to God. Right? And that when we can be faithful and obedient in the small things, that is when he will make us master over the larger things. When he can trust us in the small things, and he trains us in the small things, right? That's when we can be confident. And know that if he did it in me and through me with the little, he can do it with anything, really. And the little piece isn't for him, it's for us. So we can see what he did. Oh, God, you use me to do that? You use me to talk to these people and I help bring peace to their heart? You use me to hug this child and all of a sudden your peace just melted them. You use me to get up and talk about my life and it blessed people. God will use, look, he used a donkey in the Old Testament. The donkey's owner is kicking and trying to get it to go, but the donkey saw the angels. And the donkey was like, I ain't going nowhere.
One more time.
Yes, you kick me one more time. But if God can use a donkey to protect somebody, God can use anything. Come on. Animals and grass and flowers and trees, the trees of the field clap their hands unto God. Come on, how much more you and me? How much more? So the question is, what's in your hands? And are you going to let God use you to do that which you were birthed in the earth to do? Each and every single one of us, I don't want you thinking about, but so and so, and but nah, you.
I don't know.
You.
Amen.
Me. You. Come on. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. We heard Elizabeth cry that out last week, didn't we? With God, nothing is impossible. And what did Mary say? Let it be unto me as you have spoken. What's in your hands? And will you say to God, let it be unto me as you have spoken? Let that which you have written in your book next to my name, Psalm 139, come on. Let that which you have written in your book next to my name come forth. Let it be so. We don't always know what God wants to do. The question is, will we trust him and let him be God? He said, remain in me and allow my word to remain in you. And when we remain in him and allow his word to remain in us, then the things that we ask him, come on, Lord, have your way. Can you have your way? Lord, can you use me to do your will? Lord, will you heal this situation so that I can just rest and know that you're going to do it? Can you free me up, Lord? Let me know what I need to do. Give me the strategy. Give me the plans. Show me what to do. Speak to me in my dreams. However you want to do it, God, just do it. Because I want to be obedient to you. I give you permission to have your way in my life. I give you permission to use me, God. That's what he wants, coming from the hearts and lips of each of us. This is a growth time. I don't know if you feel that stirring. I don't know if you feel him shaking you, getting you, you know, it's like, I remember when God sent me from Raleigh and Apostle Mike said, Cat, it's time to leave the nest. I'm like, really? I was so comfortable. I look forward to being with them forever. I'll be their associate pastor. I'll be their armor bearer. I'll be their note taker. I'll be whatever they need. That's what God showed me how to minister to my pastors, how to pray for them, how to take care of them, how to be by their side, how to go someplace where they weren't wanted, but God had called them to go. So I am praying and interceding. I remember this one time, Apostle Michael was on fire. Do you hear me? On fire. And there was this little bitty stage. And every time he would get to the edge and it looked like he was about to step off. And I'm sitting there on the front with Kat. And she like, yeah, yeah. So I went and I was up behind his back everywhere he went. And when I could get foot room, I got up on the stage with him. And I stood there so that he would not fall off. Because God had him moving all over the place. Moving, ministering, speaking to the airways, calling out demons. God just had him moving and doing the work of the ministry. I ain't want my pastor to fall.
Aww.
So I'm just up there. Little bitty me, I'm 5'2". but I had my knees bent, my back and my arms straight, and that brother wasn't falling.
Wow.
God will use us to do what he wants to do through us when we let him do it. What are you willing to let him do through you? And I want to take your thoughts beyond what you think. because that which he is going to do is beyond our comprehension. It hasn't even really reached our minds and our hearts. We cannot fathom what he has planned. Don't box yourself in by your thinking. Let him blow your mind a little bit. You know that emoji? Mind blown. Let him blow your mind a little bit. Because it goes so far beyond what we might think. And we limit our thoughts based on who we feel we are. But I want to challenge you to step into that place of God, whatever you want to do through this vessel, I'm yours. Holy Spirit, as long as you with me, I know I can do it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So I want to encourage you. Spend some time with the Father and let him talk to you about what's in your hands. Let him talk to you about what he wants you to do. Because in this moment in history, I feel like it's almost as mind-blowing as what happened with Moses. He was letting a whole nation be set free by this person who didn't think that they could speak. We're at a place in history where it's time. It's time. It's time. God, we feel you rocking our boats. We feel you wrestling our nests. We feel you taking our safety nets from around us because you want to be everything to us. You want to heal us. You want to mold us and shape us and set us free so that we can be used the way you want to use us. Oh God, like Moses many times we're saying, but I can't, please send somebody else. But Lord, this morning, we ask that you would help us, Lord, if that is our cry, use somebody else. If that is our cry, Lord, help us to see that if you could do it through Moses, you can do it through us. Help us to rest in you, Lord. Help us to trust the work that you are already doing in us. And you said that that work is going to continue. We're not where we're going to be. And we're not where we were yesterday. You are doing a work in us every single moment of every single day. Grow us, mature us. Don't let us be shifted and sent away and around by every doctrine that's out there. God, we just want to face you and hear your word. We want to find our homes in you and let your word find its home in us. We want to see you face to face and do what you've called us to do. Oh God, could we see that burning bush? Lord, it could be anything. Whatever you want it to be. You chose for our brother for it to be a burning bush. In this year, in this age, in this century, it could be something very different, but still as amazing and as dynamic as a burning bush. Have your way, Lord. Do what you want to do in each of us. Come on, say with me, Lord, do in me what you want. Lord, do around me what you want.
What you want.
Lord,
Lord,
do through me what you want.
What you want.
I give you permission.
I give you permission.
To use me.
To use me.
To your glory.
To your glory.
That the body.
That the body.
Might grow.
Might grow.
Be healed.
Be healed.
And matured.
And matured.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Diane, would you pray for the tithes and the offerings that have come through, please? And just speak a blessing as God gives it to you to speak over God's people.
Okay. Okay. Father, I just thank you that you are the God who provides our needs. And you can create things out of thin air, Lord. To you, money is nothing. But Lord, what we have given, Lord, you've tested our hearts with it. And Father, I just speak a blessing over it, that these things, our pastors are good stewards to know where to put the money and what to use it for. And Lord, I thank you that it grows. And Lord, I just thank you for all the people about doing God's work. Father, your blessing on them, that they know who they are working for, and that you can do all things, Lord, and that we will not be living in fear. Lord, but we'll be living in faith.
Thank you.
To step out in obedience. Obedience is our thing, Lord. Obedience. And Lord, the world, the kingdom will grow and grow strong if we will surrender to your will in our lives in obedience. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for our hearts changing, our minds yielding to the Spirit. And Lord, that we're all positioned where we're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, Father, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
So we say, go in peace. Go in power.
Amen. Go in God.
Go in God. Looking forward to what he's going to do in you, through you, and all around you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. We love y'all so much. And we look forward to seeing you and hugging you real soon.
Yeah.
If you haven't made a one-on-one appointment, please do that quickly so that we can move forward with that. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you all so much. Have a beautiful, beautiful Sunday and the rest of the week. And we look forward to seeing you as soon as we can and hugging you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Miss those hugs.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.